May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Today, as we come to the end of the Advent season, we come also to the end of our series on women in Jesus' lineage. For the last 6 weeks, we have worked under the premise that the people Jesus comes from tell us something about who Jesus is and will be. We've wondered about why Matthew included four women, and these particular four women, in an otherwise completely male-centered genealogy. What did Matthew intend to signal to us, the readers, by including Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and the wife of Uriah? Each week, we have looked backward into the stories of these different women and then forward into the story that Matthew will tell. In Tamar's story, we saw that a pregnancy under difficult circumstances is sometimes just the kind of thing God puts to good use. In Rahab's story, we saw that sometimes foreigners are the first to see what God is doing and can be the brave ones who protect the future God intends. In Ruth, we saw that Bethlehem has a history of being a place of redemption, and that redemption is not something we can accomplish for ourselves. In Bathsheba, we saw that in every age there are those who experience unmerited suffering, whose names and agency are erased by those in power. Now, all of these women's stories pointed us forward to the story Matthew sets out to tell. For Matthew, past is prologue. The story Matthew will tell about what happens in Bethlehem is a coherent continuation of Israel's story up until this point. In other words, Jesus does not just fall out of the sky. Today we meet Mary, and no longer look backward, but only forward. God is starting a new chapter of that old story represented by the genealogy. And that story begins with Mary and her pregnancy. Now, interestingly, Matthew doesn't tell us a lot about Mary, other than that she was engaged to Joseph and pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Most of what we know about Mary comes to us from Luke. So that is what we are looking at today, his account of things. Have you ever had a secret? One that's too big to tell, but also too big to carry alone? Have you ever had a secret from which you know there is no escape? A secret that needs to be managed before everyone learns about it? Mary has a secret. And I suspect it's a secret some in this very room have some experience with. An unexpected pregnancy. These are often prickly blessings. A baby is always a gift, but sometimes it's not the right time or it's not the right partner. There is so much worry. And yet, the baby comes. Mary's circumstances are especially strange. She is a young woman, maybe 14 or so, when the angel Gabriel visits her to inform her that she has found favor with God. God sometimes has a funny way of distributing favor, don't you think? Because surely an unwed teenager in the first century would not find pregnancy to be good news. Whatever else she didn't understand about the angel's message, Mary surely understood the impact her situation would have on her life. Would she be ostracized from her community? Would her engagement be canceled? What would happen to her reputation? Divine favor, huh? And yet Mary responds, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word." Now, if you have experience with other stories in Scripture, you might notice something missing here. Mary is unique of those called by God for a specific task in that she does not argue with God that she's not the right one for the job. She seems to marvel at the circumstances. How can this be? But unlike guys like Abraham, Moses, and Gideon, she doesn't try to talk God out of his choice. She accepts the word of God's messenger, and she offers herself wholly to God's purposes. Our translation is misleading. We read, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord," but the Greek word translated as servant here really means slave. Here am I, the slave of the Lord. There are no restrictions on Mary's consent. She is all in. Mary travels from Bethlehem to visit her relative Elizabeth, who also is unexpectedly pregnant. Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb, immediately exposing Mary's secret. And filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth suddenly understands all that is transpiring and calls Mary the mother of my Lord. This scene is one of the most jubilant in all of Scripture. But although the women share a common joy, their situations are actually wildly different. Elizabeth's pregnancy removes the shame and pain she's carried for her entire marriage. In her old age, she receives what she's longed for. Mary, in her youth, receives a baby she never asked for. And rather than removing her shame, her pregnancy will likely bring it upon her. Mary has a secret. But in this moment, Mary reveals that she also knows a secret. God is at work, making good on promises from long ago. And Mary's secret spills out into prophetic song. God has instituted a great reversal. The weak become strong, the poor become rich. And notice that though the Christ child is but an embryo in Mary's body, Mary does not speak of the future. She speaks in, for you nerdy English people, she speaks in the present perfect tense. God has scattered the proud. God has already scattered the proud, has already brought down the powerful and lifted up the lowly. God has already filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Jesus hasn't even been born to do anything yet. But Mary's pregnancy is evidence that God is already on it. It's a done deal. Mary's song concludes with an acknowledgement that God's action in this moment is a fulfillment of promises her people have waited on for generations. She sings, "He has come to the aid of his child Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Mary stays with Elizabeth for 3 months. That's the rest of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Scripture is silent on how things go when Mary returns home. We don't get to know how her community responded to her pregnancy. We do know that Joseph did not reject her, but heeded the angel's instructions to take her as his wife. Just as Mary did, Joseph trusted that nothing is impossible with God. Jesus is born, and Mary experienced all the same joys and sorrows of any mom. Postpartum haze, keeping up with that toddler energy, answering preschooler's favorite question, why? She kissed injuries, she told stories, she doled out last sips of water before bed. And according to Luke, Mary did a lot of pondering on what she knew about her child. There was indeed a lot to think about. Mary knew that God was coming to make things right through the baby she bore. And as time went on, Mary learned more about what that would look like and what it would ask of both her and her child. When Mary and Joseph present the baby, Jesus, at the temple, the aged Simeon reveals an amazing but troubling future. He tells her, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your soul too. When she said yes to God, Mary accepted any range of possibilities. Surely she knew the road ahead might not always be easy. But could she ever have imagined just what it all would cost? When Jesus begins his ministry and others marvel at this teacher and his amazing works, Mary will marvel too. But in the back of her mind, she will also know that there is danger ahead. Saying yes to God comes at a price for Mary. Then again, the incarnation also comes at a price for God. Mary does not bear the cost alone. Mary and God are partners in creating this baby and will likewise be partners in bearing witness to the ways the world will treat Jesus. To partner with God is to sometimes face dreadfully difficult things. But to partner with God is to know that you are never facing those dreadfully difficult things alone. We remember the very first thing Gabriel said to Mary right out of the gate. The Lord is with you. Mary had a secret, an unexpected pregnancy. Mary knew a secret. God was moving in the world. And in her song, Mary lets us in on her secret. God has flipped the script with Jesus' birth. Nothing will ever be the same. God has come to us working through the most unusual means. A baby born to a virgin. A baby king who has no interest in Herod's throne. A great reversal where foreigners and prostitutes and lepers and tax collectors enter the kingdom before the most saintly of the religious establishment. And maybe this is why Matthew included all those women in his genealogy. To prime us for a future that will surprise us all. To remind us that there are no means outside of God's toolbox for working in the world. Prostitute, God can use you. Foreigner, welcome aboard. Widow with no options, there's redemption for you. Victim who has never been truly seen, this God sees you. In our day, maybe this looks like addiction problem, God can use you. Immigrant, welcome aboard. Burnt out by life, there's redemption for you. Poor, lonely, abused, depressed, this God sees you. God has come to live among us, right in the middle of our mess. God is here, working in ways outside the bounds of our imaginations. We don't understand it. There's a lot to ponder, but it's not a secret anymore. Now it is a mission. It's our mission that we have inherited from Mary and all who, like her, have dared to say yes to God through the ages. It is our mission to partner in God's great reversal, to flip the script in our day, to be a voice for the voiceless, to work for justice with whatever we can get our hands on, to offer signs of hope to those who need it, to be Christ's hands and feet in our communities. It's not a secret anymore. Spread the word. Thanks be to God. Amen.